My name is Patrick Johnson.
Okay, tell me a little bit about what you do right now, Patrick.
Right now, I'm a prosecuting attorney, a senior prosecutor at the Spokane County Prosecutor's Office. I've worked there for 20 years now, and I've done most things in the office. I've done major crimes, special assaults, district court. Right now, I'm prosecuting what we call chronic offenders. And in terms of what that means for my office, it is those folks in the community who have more than 9 prior felony convictions. So the folks who are committing the most crime. And you would think that there wouldn't be enough of that to go around. But I have a whole caseload, and we have a couple people focused on nothing but that.
So is 9 just sort of an arbitrary number, or is there some rhyme or reason to it?
Oh, no. Good question. So the SRA, the Sentencing Reform Act, kind of divides all the crimes up into seriousness level, and there's a grid based on how many prior offenses somebody has. So like for a theft charge, you steal $20,000, but you have no prior history, you come in as a 0. Most people are a 0. Your standard range is 0 to 90 days. But by the time you get to 9, you're at the top of the chart. So that's 43 to 57 months in prison. So a lot of our crimes are drawn up like that. So when we say 9, the chart only goes up to 9. So people above 9 are just kind of, you know, there's no place on the chart for them. So that's why we focus on those with more than 9 prior felony convictions.
So what do you enjoy working in the prosecutor's office?
I've loved it for a long time. I guess, obviously, if I've been there 20 years, there must be something that I like about it, some reason to get out of bed and go to work in the morning. For me, what I like about it is it feels like an opportunity to do justice. In fact, there's an ethical rule. RPC 3.8 applies just to prosecutors, and it tells us some of the things we need to do. But the comments refer to us as ministers of justice. And so that kind of conveys the sense that prosecutors have this special place in our justice system. We're doing more than trying to throw people in prison. I mean, we do plenty of that too, but we weigh a lot of factors. We represent the community, the people, and the people even include the people that we're prosecuting. So we have kind of a duty to be fair and to be balanced. And so I like that. And I don't have a crystal ball. I don't always get it right. But there are opportunities for me as a prosecutor to maybe give somebody a break. I remember one of the best stories I had from a former defendant, somebody I had prosecuted in the past, walked up to me and he said, you're a prosecutor, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. He said, well, you probably don't recognize me, but I recognize you. You were my prosecutor. And I said, oh, okay, we're on the county campus. I said, what are you doing here? He said, well, believe it or not, I'm here for jury duty. The case I had with you, it was stupid. Buddies of mine and I, we spray painted some semi-trucks, did some graffiti damage, enough cost for it to be a felony. He said, at that time, you gave me the opportunity to pay restitution, pay money to the trucking company. They felt like they were made whole. I dismissed the charges. I dismissed this felony against this, what was a 19-year-old kid at the time. From that point forward, he got the message. He went to college. He got his degree in computer science. He was married and had a young kid, and he was there for jury duty. And so we think about what prosecutors do to keep the community safe, and that's important. But the other aspect is also the good work you can do to try to get people back on track. And sometimes it works. And so this was a success story that made me feel really good, like what I'm doing in the world has meaning.
So sort of along that line, there are a lot of people who are thinking we spend too many resources putting people in the jail who don't need to be put there. What are your feelings about that? Do we people who are arrested for outstanding warrants and they didn't even know they were supposed to be in court or something like that? What are your feelings about that?
Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts on the matter. Like most people, I've looked at the charts and looked at the explosive growth in incarceration since the 70s. And it far outstrips just population growth. So we're putting a lot more people behind bars. Is that a good thing? If our crime rates fell precipitously, we would say yes, that's a good thing that we're putting a lot of people in prison or in jail. We're not really seeing that kind of decline. So in a kind of a broad sense, I think we need to do better. We need to explore better ways of addressing the criminal population so that they're not engaging in crime, so that they are out in their community with their family, paying taxes and being engaged in our world. That said, I said, right now, I'm focusing on folks who commit so many crimes that they've blown through every opportunity. They've blown through that first offender option. They've blown through the treatment option time and time again. And at some point, what do you do? At some point, the community has an expectation that this person isn't going to just walk out of jail as soon as they're arrested, this so-called revolving door. There has to be a measure of accountability. So for low-level offenders, in general, I believe we can have alternative programming. To address your question about whether people knew that they had court and they claim they didn't know, I have not found that to be the case. I know in court, for future court appearances, defendants have to sign a scheduling order. So they sign it, they get a copy of it. Can somebody forget? Yeah, sure, that can happen. But is it a situation where there's court and they just never knew about it? I have not found that to be true. So then the trick is, as a judge, what do you do when you got somebody who had court, agreed to come to court, doesn't come to court? You know, typically, it's status quo that they get a chance. You know, they sign an order, they take care of it, the prosecutor works with defense and comes up with a quick solution. But if it happens over and over, how do we resolve a case? How do we move forward if we can't get folks into court? So I really don't have a problem with people being arrested for chronically missing court. It is an expectation of their release that they follow conditions. And if they're not, sometimes there just aren't a lot of recourses except to arrest them.
Well, maybe I was making a faulty assumption. I've done a couple of stories about the public defender's office using their new texting option with as a way to stay in better contact with the people to get their clients to get into court instead mm-hmm. of missing court and then facing a warrant somewhere down the line. So do you try cases both in Superior Court and District Court?
No, not for a long time. I started out in District Court when I first came to the prosecutor's office. And the way it works in my office, I had to master the District Court matters, the misdemeanors, the gross misdemeanors, before I was allowed to do felony cases. So now I try cases exclusively in Superior Court. Now, those are felonies and misdemeanor charges can be in there, too. But for a long time, I've been in Superior Court. I've done a lot of trials. I've done 20-something trials in District Court. I've also done a total of about 150 trials, and the vast majority of those are criminal trials. Almost all of them are felony trials. And those were trials where I was the lead counsel. So I've got a lot of experience under my belt in the courtroom, in the trenches, actually doing the job.
So I'll ask you about, I'll ask you the obvious question. One, why do you want to be a judge?
Yeah, you know, when I got out of law school, I thought everybody wants to be a judge. Every lawyer would aspire to be a judge. And when you're a new lawyer, you're kind of in awe. You see the person behind the robe and you think, wow, that is the best and brightest in our legal community. And then time went by and I really got into being a prosecutor and doing my other job. I'm a defense attorney in the JAG Corps. I've been in the military for 25 years total, the last 17 of which has been focused on defending soldiers. So kind of it didn't happen by accident that it dawned on me to run for judge. What happened was Judge Vance Peterson is retiring this year. So that's the position that I'm running for, position one in the district court. And Judge Peterson had been judge for 20-some-odd years. In fact, an interesting piece of trivia, I had my very first criminal trial in front of Judge Peterson before he was even a judge. He was a court commissioner, and I was an intern in law school. and he was very patient with me, and I appreciate that. But I heard he was retiring, and that's when kind of the light bulb went off. And he is the only judge on the bench who has military experience, and I'm the only candidate running who has military experience. And so why is it important this year? It's important because Judge Vance Peterson in 2009 started Veterans Court, one of the four therapeutic courts that District Court manages. And so like the title implies, we put veterans in this program, and it's a great program. The defendants, the veterans, get a mentor assigned to them. Somebody bounce issues off. They try to match them up, so Army with Army, Marine Corps with a Marine Corps mentor. And they progress through these steps in their case. And so they're put on probation with an opportunity to get services, to interact with the VA, to look at what's causing them to have problems in society. Is it mental health? Is it substance abuse? So they get elevated through the program. And one of the things I like about the program, again, the goal isn't to nail them with a conviction. The goal is to get them on the right track so they can progress through Veterans Court, get a dismissal on everything except for DUI. That isn't eligible for a dismissal. But I think this is an important program. And I got to thinking, with my background, 20 years prosecuting, 17 years defending soldiers, 25 years of military experience altogether, and being a major in the reserves, I thought, yeah, that is a great opportunity. So I talked to Judge Peterson. And he's endorsing me to take his place, and I'm honored to have his support. Also supported by all 12 of the Superior Court judges and most of the District Court judges as well. So a lot of support from the judicial community.
So do you think the Veterans Court would lose credibility with the veterans if the judge wasn't a military veteran?
Well, I would like to think that whoever did the program would try, give it a real good effort. What I would believe is that somebody who has military experience would have more credibility going into the program. It's easier for a military person to relate. Now, I've watched Judge Peterson go through his docket, and he can tell a military person, okay, yeah, I see you were 11 Bravo. Well, who knows what 11 Bravo means, right? Most people don't serve in the military. They don't know that 11 Bravo is the MOS, the military occupational skill, for infantry in the Army. And Judge Peterson gets that. And it's those kind of nuances that help the judge relate to the defendants and for the defendants to relate to the judge. So I think it is important. It's definitely a plus. I wouldn't think that the county would shut down Veterans Court if they didn't have a veteran as the judge. But it is an important piece of this puzzle.
So I find it kind of interesting that you're a prosecutor in your day job and you're a defense attorney for in your military
right.
part. Does that mean different parts of your brain have to be in use for those two jobs?
Yeah. You know, years ago I mobilized or went away for a year of Army duty in Kentucky, Fort Knox. And so I went from being a full-time prosecutor to a full-time defense attorney. And there is a certain shift, definitely a different way of looking at the case. And I know I tried to model myself after the defense attorneys that I thought were most persuasive in our community. I know I'd been dealing with Bevin Maxey, who I think is a great lawyer. But one of the things I really liked about Bevin was, you know, sometimes he knew he didn't have a good case. And he'd come to say me and say, look, what can we do here? You know, and just being upfront. And I took that approach being a defense attorney in the Army. And I think the Army prosecutors really appreciated that. But yeah, it's a different mindset, but it's really good. I think it helps both sides of the equation. So when I'm prosecuting, I have in my head, you know, what would a defense attorney do? Or why does a defense attorney bring a particular motion? And knowing from the inside why this happens is enormously useful. And so as a judge, I would be bringing together this perspective of having been a prosecutor for so long and having done defense work for so long, and being able to know the difference and understand the rules and the perspectives of the parties that come before me.
So for the people who are going to vote for you, they've heard you've got a pretty wide range of trial lawyer, attorney, and all this other thing. But they want to know what's going to make you a good judge. Mm-hmm. So what's your answer to that?
You bet. So I'm coming at it with a lot of experience and a lot of balance. I'm also in this community a well-recognized attorney. I've been selected as one of Spokane's best attorneys in Spokane Coeur d'Alene Living magazine for 8 years. In fact, I'm the only prosecutor who has ever had that honor. I'm also listed as one of the best elder law attorneys. And so what that is, for a long time, I was the elder law prosecutor in Spokane County, recognized speaker at the local, state, and even national level, where I'd received a lot of training. I've got a background, but being a judge is more than just background. It's temperament. And so to go into court and treat people with dignity and respect, and no matter who they are, whether they're one of the lawyers, whether they're a juror, or somebody charged with a crime, for a lot of people, this is a scary proposition. District court deals with low-level offenders quite a bit, including people who don't have criminal history. And to help ease their concerns and to convey a true sense of caring about people, that's something I bring to the table. And as evidence of that, people who know what it takes to be judge support me. And I mentioned 12 out of 12 Superior Court judges, a huge number of retired judges as well supporting me, which I take to mean that they look at their choices and they're making a decision who would be best placed to be a judge for district court. And I'm honored that they're selecting me. I'll tell you the kind of broad support I have. I'm endorsed by Sheriff Ozzie Knezovich, our county prosecutor, Larry Haskell, but also the county public defender, Tom Krasminski. I'm endorsed by Republicans of Spokane County, but also unions. So I've got the support of Labor Council, including my union, where I'm the vice president of the AFSCME union. I've got the support of the Jailers Union and also the Union of Commercial Food Workers, and partly because I have two children who are members of that union, which helped me out with some credibility there. So it's that kind of support, experience, balance, and training that prepare me well to be judge and to serve the people here in Spokane County.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of range in almost 20 minutes. Is there anything that I missed that you wanted to talk about?
You know, I think we've got it. I've had a wonderful time out in our community meeting people and doing events and hearing the concerns that people have. And as you pointed out, it's sometimes hard to know who to vote for a county judge because people don't have the advantage or perceived advantage of being able to pick Republican or Democrat. It takes a little more work or to, as a voter, to educate yourself, to figure out who to vote for, or maybe you have friends who are lawyers, you can ask them. So I'm out in the community really trying to get the word out, and so I definitely appreciate the opportunity to be on your show, Doug, and thanks for the invite.